Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mukunda's magic touch. I like this evening from Bhagavad Gita. Let's see if I can verse them. All of your foodstuffs to him. Actually, this is described in several places in Bhagavad Gita. One text is found in the 9th chapter. Patram spam phalam dvayam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhaktyuparatam ashnami prayatatma. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Now read the purport, very nice description of the quality of devotion that is essential in offering something to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. For the intelligent person, it is essential to be in Krishna consciousness, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, in order to achieve permanent blissful abode for eternal happiness. The process of achieving such a marvelous result is very easy, and it can be attempted even by the poorest of the poor without any kind of qualification. The only qualification required in this connection is to be a pure devotee of the Lord. It does not matter what one is, where one is situated. The process is so easy that even a leaf or a little water or fruit can be offered to Supreme Lord in genuine love, and the Lord will be pleased to accept it. No one, therefore, can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so universal. Who is such a fool that he does not want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfectional life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Pretty good argument. If something is so simple and the reward is so great, who is so foolish? If you put it in our normal day-to-day affairs of economics, if you could get the greatest thing, supposing any commodity you might think of, the greatest automobile for the lowest, who won't go for it? You have to be a fool. Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Anyway, Prabhupada goes on, without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. On either side, bhakti is never causal. Krishna is not obliged, as Prabhupada describes. Krishna is a poor man. He is speaking this verse, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Please consider the personality of Godhead is the proprietor of all universes, the creator, and he is the controller. He is the maintainer and he is the annihilator of all. There is nothing that exists, these previous verses describing the position of the demigods, who are managing the affairs of the universe. And there is nothing that exists that is not one of God's energies, and he is in charge of the whole show at every moment. What is a little water? for the personality of Godhead. Or a flower, millions, millions and millions, is it millions of flowers he's producing? Isn't that needing a flower? Or a leaf? I mean, how easy is it to find a leaf? As easy as it is. Unlimited, who can count the number of leaves that Krishna produces? But he will accept these simple offerings if presented to him love and devotion. This is what Krishna is interested in, our love and devotion. The object of offering can be, it is the simplest thing imaginable, as a leaf, or a little water. Krishna is interested in our love. In the same way also, the point that Prabhupada is establishing here in the purport, is accepting these things, that is also not by obligation. It is not causal. If this, then this. That is how we understand things, usually. Accustomed to understand on this worldly plane, this body knowledge that we can accept, the laws of cause and effect. But again, devotional service to Krishna does not come that way. Krishna's accepting an offering is not because he's obliged to accept. This is very important. Concession. It is not a mechanical process. It is not a causative process. It's scientific. But because of Krishna, because Krishna is the Supreme Person. There's a very long purport, so I'll just express some of the things Prabhupada describes in the purport rather than reading it word for word. He is describing that are offerable. Specifically, Krishna requests here certain items. And it is understood in the Vedas, wherever there is some injunction, simultaneously there is a prohibition. If it is enjoined that one should do a certain thing, then that means you should not fail to do that certain thing and do some other thing. In this big example, you can offer certain foods to Krishna. That means you can't offer other foods to Krishna. That you should offer these foods to Krishna means you should not avoid offering these foods to Krishna, even if you're not hungry. Because the offering of food to Krishna is not simply for this muscle, the tongue, and this muscle in the body, the stomach, to be gratified, satisfied, gratified. The purpose of the offering, as the Puri is offering very nice foodstuffs to Krishna, is for pleasure of Krishna. And within the purport, Prabhupada also describes how that offering is made. It is made through the prayers that are offered. There is a nice verse in the Upanishads, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chavidyate, Natatsamas Chab Yadikasya Drishyate, Parashishap Vividaiva Shruyate, Sabhaviki Jnana Balakriyach. Here it is described what the meaning of absolute is. Because the impersonalist is baffled by this whole idea of offering something to Krishna. Krishna here is declaring that foodstuffs can be offered to him in different categories. In impersonal, Prabhupada is explaining that in the impersonal commentaries on Bhagavad Gita, they have a great deal of difficulty commenting on this verse. Either their idea is that Krishna is a materialistic individual, simply greedy. But how is this? What are these things that Krishna is greedy for? Water and a leaf? A flower? Anyway, they can't understand the meaning of this verse. Because they do not understand that Krishna's body is absolute. What is the meaning? To say, when we say God is absolute, what does that mean? That means that his form is not like the form of an ordinary living being. He does not accept an ordinary form. There, in the case of Lord Krishna, there is a difference between body and soul. Now this is the most fundamental point of philosophy in Bhagavad Gita. There is a difference between the body and the soul. Found in the second chapter. Here we're reading from the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Certainly it's already established. There is difference between body and soul. Now, in Krishna's case, there is no difference between his inside and his outside. Between the soul and the body. Identical. Therefore, you can also accept from that understanding that all of Krishna's senses are fully absolute or fully transcendental. What does that mean? Practically, Krishna's senses are fully transcendental means any one of his senses can do anything any other senses can do. That is the meaning of absolute. Now, we can't say that about this body, can we? I mean, some people try to walk hands. Or to do some gymnastic feat in which one sense is trying to replace the function of sense. We eat with our ears. We have different openings in the body. You can try. There are seven openings in the body. You can try putting your foodstuffs in any one of those seven openings and it just won't work. One sense is not exchangeable with the other sense. Krishna's case, he can eat with his ears. Simply by hearing the prayers offered by the puja, this hearing of the offering in love and devotion is non-different than Krishna's eating of that offering. I'll give another example. It's described in the Vedic literature that the living entities that are within this material world, that means us. We all got here originally by the glance of Mahavishnu, glancing over the tattva, or the field of the material energy. This is how the Lord impregnates with his eyes. We cannot impregnate with our eyes. At one program recently, one of the guests was asking, how is it if God is all perfect and pure, that he is enjoying activities with the gopis, thinking that his pleasure or his enjoyment or his consorting with the gopis is like the mundane embodied man and woman associating together. It's not the same. Any more than we can impregnate with ice. Our senses are not interchangeable one with another. But in the case of the person Godhead, any one of his senses can do anything if the other senses can do. Within the Upanishads it is described that the Lord walks but he does not walk. Now what does this mean? It means that his being is not like our walking. His movement, this Asya Shaktir Vivadaiva Shruyate, means that because the Lord's energies are unlimited, simply by his desiring, by natural sequence, his activities are automatically enacted. The Lord has to do nothing. His energies are doing everything. His energies are simply acting according to his will. And actually, the word automatically, even that is a little misleading, because it is not mechanical. Rather, the energies are extensions of the Lord himself. Even the power of those whom the Lord empowers is also acting by the Lord's empowerment. Just like Prabhupada gave one example. If you feel an ant crawling up your arm, you're aware, even at the very far extremity of your arm, of this ant moving. But that is due to consciousness. If 2 inches away from the surface of your the same skin, another insect moving, you would not feel it. Why? Because your consciousness is limited. But the consciousness is unlimited. So in the same way, the gods, they are empowered to have far greater consciousness than we have, we can hardly even imagine. For example, Varuna is able to, by his greatly empowered consciousness, he's able to draw all the activities within the great ocean waters. And just as we are conscious of a little insect that is crawling up our arm, Varuna is conscious of all the products and all the activities that are going on within the vast ocean. He's conscious in this way. So just as we are conscious according to our scale, and Varuna is conscious according to his scale, Krishna is fully conscious of all things, because all things are his energy. And all the living entities that are moving within the field of this material energy are moving under his direction. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunantya jagat viparivartate. The material modes of nature are moving under the Lord's direction. And as his parts and tools, he is fully conscious of their activity. Living entities are an energy of God.